Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Munganess St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Tom Ackerman with you. Lots of good stuff this hour. John Mozeliak at 11:30. Chris Blair coming up in just a moment, the GM of Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. We also have Dan O'Neill to talk a little sports with us. That's coming up at 11:45. But right now, we are talking live with Kyle McClellan, the former Cardinals pitcher. It's the Inside Pitch. It's sponsored by Redbird Carriers and the Stacey Lee Blue Scholarship Fund, funding Christian education for those in need. Good morning, Kyle McClellan. What a beautiful day to be alive. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Are you getting any sun out there today?
Yeah, actually, my son and I are up at the farm doing some activities up here, getting ready for the upcoming deer season. So me and him are having a boys' day.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah, it was a good day. I spent a little time over the weekend at Innsbruck doing a little fishing with the girls. So they were having some fun, ripping some bass out of there. They like that. So what about the Cardinals right now? So they're taking on the A's at 3:07 today. Matt Carpenter is going to lead off the game. He's going to play third base and lead off. Cardinals fans getting word of that from Mike Schilt here on KMOX, and they don't, at least the vocal, those that are very vocal are not very happy about it. Understandably, I mean, he's 2-for-26 down in the minors. What are the Cardinals doing to get Matt Carpenter lead off? Are they trying to get him as many at-bats as possible, trying to get him as comfortable as possible?
Well, you have to at some point say, hey, we're going to send him on the rehab when he's healthy. Look, this is a guy we invested in long-term twice. This is a guy that if he's right is going to help us. And so they're going to have to give him a shot and see what it looks like at the top of that lineup. But I would imagine his leash is going to be really short. If he doesn't come in and look like he can, you know, get his timing and get everything figured out pretty quick, they're going to have to make a move. And I said it, I think it was yesterday's pregame. This is a tough time of year for the manager because you're not going to make any friends at this point. You have to go with what's going to give you the best chance to win. I'm a big believer in track records. I think that guys that have proven what they can do it over time deserve an opportunity and a shot. But I think at this point, from what we've seen during the season, if it doesn't happen in the first 5, 6, 7 games, they're going to have to look at something else.
I hate comparing managers, but I have to ask you because you played for Tony. How did Tony do it? How did he play and figure out? He was really good at figuring out who was the best at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Tony was big on track record too. I mean, if you were a veteran guy and you've done it, he believed in you and he knew that you had a chance to do it. But at some point, you have to sit there and say, look, this is what's best for our team, and it might be a young kid coming up from Memphis, and it might mean you have to sit. And you look at Tony's career here, there was a lot of relationships that soured over stuff like that, but he had to do it because it was what's best for the team. And so I think, you know, you just have to look at how he looks when he gets back. The minor leagues, I don't put a ton into because I've been down there on rehab assignments. You see guys, it's not the same. I want to see how he produces here at the major league level. And if his swing's right and he can time it, he could be a huge asset. I mean, look what he did last year for this team. He essentially carried them. You got to give him that opportunity, but I just think his leash is going to be really short.
I agree with you. And you got to unlock it. So it's in there somewhere and figure out how to get Matt Carpenter.
You don't just forget, you know, how to do it.
And sometimes it takes just like an at-bat, you know, one of those classic Matt Carpenter fouling off 9 pitches in a row and just hanging in there in a game, and suddenly you get that timing back. It could happen like that.
Yeah, and it also sometimes it comes to knowing that if I don't perform, I'm not going to play.
You know, you got
a young guy pressuring you that you say, hey, I got to go out there and I got to get it done. So, you know, he's had the time off to get healthy. It's just going to be important that he gets off to a quick start.
And who are those young guys? Tommy Edman, Jairo Munoz, although their numbers have slipped a little bit. They've kind of come back down to earth after, especially Edman, after a red-hot start. Kyle McClellan is with us. Kyle, and I know we've talked about this on Total Information AM, but for our Sunday morning listeners, just your overall reaction post trade deadline and where the Cardinals sit right now?
Well, I think it's disappointing for all parties involved. I think I'm sure John Mozeliak and his staff is frustrated, disappointed because they wanted to make an addition. And I'm sure the players and the manager and coaching staff are frustrated. And I know fans are frustrated. So it's not an ideal situation. Look, they needed to add a starter. I think everybody knew that and they were trying to do it, but it's not fair on our part to, we don't know what John Mozeliak's conversations were like. We know he was out there trying. You don't know what people are wanting and what those conversations were and what they entailed. So you have to trust that when John Mozeliak had the opportunity and Michael Gersh to go out and make a move, they've done it and tried to better the team. And this time they didn't think that it was going to be good for the short term or long term, I would imagine, for the situations that they were presented. And you look at what was given up for some of these other guys. It was a haul for what some of the guys were giving up to get some of these starting pitchers at that trade deadline. So, I think overall everybody would say they were disappointed, but sometimes it works like that where you don't just match up with somebody and you don't have a deal.
How about the no-hitter yesterday by the Astros? They had a no-hitter, Aaron Sanchez and three relievers. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of anticlimactic for me. I mean, are we done with seeing no-hitters by one pitcher?
I know. I thought about that too. I'm like, you know, it's a no-hitter, but I didn't like stop to scramble to get to a TV and try to watch it.
Well, even the players, you could tell they were kind of like, we're excited, but what do we do? You know, it's not like one guy, you know, went out there. I don't know. Starting pitchers aren't going as deep. And you just wonder, you know, are we going to see that again? Are we going to see guys go out there and throw no hitters anymore? Because now, you know, the last few I think we've seen have been kind of combined by three, four, five guys. And you see it in the minor leagues as well. And I don't know. It's not near as enjoyable as a guy going out there and doing it all himself.
It'll be Adam Wainwright pitching today against the A's. Looking forward to that. Final thing on that is he did exactly what you and I talked about last week. He had that look in his eye and went out there and gave the Cardinals his best shot. And that's what he's doing at this stage in his career.
Yeah, he needed that too. After a couple starts that didn't go his way, he came out there and really just looked great, had his fastball command back. That's everything for Adam. If he has that, he's going to have a successful day. There's games out there where he's struggling. He's got a high pitch count and a high walks because he's really struggling with that fastball location. And he'll fight it, and he'll give you everything he's got. But when he's got it, it's fun to watch with everything else that he has in the arsenal.
Have a great day with your son. Go out and have a blast out in this beautiful summer day, and we'll catch up with you real soon. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Kyle McClellan is with us, former Cardinals pitcher, always with the inside pitch at this time, 11:05 on Sports on a Sunday morning. When we come back, we'll talk some racing with Chris Blair of Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. That's next on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday morning. Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We're back on KMOX, and it is less than 3 weeks away from a big event at Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. Not one, but two events. The Bomarito Automotive Group 500, presented by Exalta and Valvoline, and NASCAR's K&N Pro Series Monaco 125, presented by the West Coast Stock Car Hall of Fame. They will both be at Worldwide Technology Raceway here in St. Louis, August 23rd and 24th. And joining us is the general manager of that fine facility, and that's Chris Blair. How are you, Chris?
Hey, doing great until you just reminded me that we're 3 weeks away, so I know. One of the things I got to check off my list. You know?
I just thought of that as I said that. He's thinking, oh, man, I got so much to do between now and then. That's a lot, isn't it? You have two events now, and you got NASCAR folks and IndyCar folks.
Yeah, you know, last year we had them on the same weekend, but we had the NASCAR guys on Friday and the IndyCar on Saturday. This year, we're trying something a little different. You know, we're doing them both on the same day, so the NASCAR K&N race was started around 4:30, and then the Bomarito race, the pre-race, kicks off at 7 o'clock. So we're doing this. It's kind of a test. Jay Fry, the president of IndyCar, and I talked about this about a year ago, and he said, hey, let's go for it and see how it works. And you never know, this might be signs of things to come. And Jay's been one of the main advocates for IndyCar and NASCAR working together on the same weekends to create these super weekends. And so this is kind of a test run. So it's good that we're kind of on the ground floor and being one of the pilot tracks for that.
You are the only racetrack in the country that has NHRA, NASCAR, and IndyCar. That is something, and something to hang your hat on. What does NASCAR think of us, Chris?
I tell you what, they're really excited about us now. Earlier this year, it was the week of the Game 6 Western Conference Finals. Steve Phelps, president of NASCAR, came to town and attended the game with us. And he had a fantastic time. He was really excited to see how enthusiastic everyone is here in St. Louis. You know, the bad news was he's also a Boston fan, so he probably doesn't like us as much as after that. But he was really impressed with what he saw here and, you know, the reception that he received while he was in town. And then, you know, on top of that, it's just that he sees the good crowd that NHRA brings and the great crowd that IndyCar brings. And he likes the fact that we're willing to try a lot of new and exciting things. And that's one thing that kind of sets us apart from everybody else. And he's a genuinely a good guy who cares about the sport. I think he recognizes that Curtis is also. And you know, we every day that we wake up, our goal is to try to get a NASCAR Cup race here in this town. And he recognizes that we're working hard to try to get there.
The NASCAR K&N Pro Series. Tell us about that. What people can expect to see.
Well, I'm excited about that one because if you take a look at the drivers who are currently the real rock stars in NASCAR Cup racing and even in the Truck Series now, or the Xfinity Series, they all had to come through the K&N Series. And, you know, so everybody from Kevin Harvick all the way down to, you know, Bubba Wallace, Kyle Larson, all those drivers, they had to go through that series. And this year it's pretty exciting because we have a young lady by the name of Haley Deegan. She just turned 18 years old. Her dad is Brian Deegan, the motocross racer, and she's winning some races, and she's not afraid to use her front bumper to move people out of the way. And, you know, there's some good points races coming into our race through that series, and Haley's going to be one that we're going to be showcasing because she is probably the best female racer to come along in my lifetime based on what I'm seeing so far. And we're excited to see her here because we know that she's destined for greatness. So there's going to be some good things going on there. There's a lot of good drivers, Derek Krause, several others in that series that are going to be future superstars. And they all know that they're under the microscope. So when they're out there racing, they're beating and banging because every win counts. And this being a East-West championship battle, it's pretty important to them. So I think we're going to see some really good racing on that side.
Very cool. That's the NASCAR K&N Pro Series on Saturday, August 24th, qualifying at 12:30, and the race will be at 4:35. You have three races in one day. You have that. You have the Indy Lights race, which is a 75-lap race just before the NASCAR K&N Pro Series, and then the showcase, the IndyCar Series, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 is going to be at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night at Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. What a scene, what a spectacle that will be, Chris.
Well, one thing I'm looking forward to right now is it seems like we've got an early fall rolling in. So one of the big questions that I get from people, they ask me, is it going to be hot? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be wet? And I can answer them, yes, it is, because that's St. Louis in August. But the forecast that we have coming up is looking really, really good. And that's one of the things, you know, you and I were talking the other day and after our last interview about how perfect it was that first race, and you were there in the grandstands, and just the perfect evening.
Yep.
And based on the forecast that I'm talking to a lot of the different weather companies that I'm working with, they say we're going to have a great race week. The forecast looks great for the next 10 days and continuing on all the way through the month. So I'm selling the weather right now. I want people to get out and have a great Saturday night at the racetrack.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago when you brought IndyCar back, and I'm standing there in the grandstands with the fans. I got a beer in my hand. Over my left shoulder is the arch. And down on the track, here they come around turn four, and they hit the gas to rip through that start line and get things going with the green flag. It was a very cool, I mean, I thought there's no place I'd rather be right now than at this St. Louis track. And you'll have qualifying on Friday, August 23rd, and then the race the night of the 24th and all of the things happening in between. Qualifying is also a lot of fun, and you'll open the parking lots at 10 o'clock on Friday morning to get people at a good spot.
Yeah, we encourage people to come in and walk around. The drivers are very, very accessible. And we're going to be having driver autograph sessions both days. For every series that's participating will be involved. And so that's one of the great things about the drivers that participate in the IndyCar Series and the K&N Series is they want to meet the fans. You get access to them right up until the race starts. And that's one of the things we encourage people to come out on Friday because everybody's really laid back on Friday and get a chance to talk to the crews and just see everything that goes into the race. So it's you know, a couple of really fun days, and we have a lot of things going on, and that's one of the things I try to tell everybody. It's not just the race. We have, you know, music. We have the food trucks that come in with a rumble before the roar, the autograph session. And then when we start with our show, I have airplanes doing flyovers. I have skydivers. I do pyro. I try to give everybody the full experience, and that's one of the things. We try to do something that everybody will enjoy. There'll be something for everybody if you come out and check out the race.
That's great. You have an incredible venue, really. In fact, throughout the year, you have events going on. I know that last year, the Christmas lights at that track were spectacular. A lot of people were talking about that. You have shows, you have racing, you have all kinds of things going on there. The 365 days a year, I'm sure you're thinking about what's next.
Yeah, that's one of those things. When this thing wakes up every morning, it's hungry, and we have to feed it. So it takes a whole lot of money to feed into that thing to keep it happy, you know. And this week coming up, we have a Formula Drift on our newly expanded road course. We took a road course from a 1.6-mile to a 2-mile track, and Formula Drift's going to be the first ones to break it in. And we're very excited about it. They put on a good show last year with a different track design, and this time around, I think there's going to be probably one of the best drift shows ever in the United States with this course that was specifically designed not only to meet their needs, but to meet the needs of our local racers that like to race in the road course.
It's Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. It's no longer called Gateway Motorsports Park. It's Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. I've been calling it that as they made that announcement in April. And what is the significance there? Why did Worldwide Technology and David Stewart get so involved with you?
Dave is truly a car guy. He really loves cars. He came out last year and was the grand marshal at our race, and he just absolutely loved the experience. He really hit it off with Curtis Francois, our track owner. So the two of them became friends and have been working through this. And Dave sees this as an opportunity for Worldwide to take a lot of the things they're doing in the fan engagement and the fan experience areas, and he's going to apply it to what we're doing at our racetrack. So his goal is to help us become the most modern motorsports venue anywhere. And we've been working with some of his team. I took a group to Daytona a few weeks ago, and they were taking a look at behind the scenes of what Daytona and NASCAR are doing. And as the world is evolving into 5G, they want to show different things and how their products can work and the solutions that they offer. And having an entertainment venue is a perfect example for that. So they can do a lot of demonstrations as well as STEM education. Dave sees that as a good opportunity where we could have a classroom at the racetrack promoting STEM and the different things in technology and in automotive.
You have so much space there. I know that that's going to eventually you'll run out of space. But right now you still have some opportunities to build some things, don't you, within that complex?
Yeah, and we're working on a lot of different projects. We're going to be making some media center expansions here pretty soon that we're wanting to develop that into a classroom setting also. So it would be used as a media center on race days. But through the rest of the year, it could be used as a learning center to help with the STEM education programs that we're working on. And you know, we have an additional 200 acres that Curtis acquired in the fall of 2016 that we're developing. And there's some other things we want to do out there and enhance the camping experience and try to do more for a lot of different groups. We're even working with some folks who are doing drone racing to help them have a place to safely race drones. And, you know, there's just so many different opportunities that are out there where you just need wide open spaces. And that's something that we have, and we're continually working to make it better.
It's Curtis Francois that you're talking about, the owner of Gateway at Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. What a guy. I mean, a St. Louis guy, if you've ever found one, that wants just like a... You have a guy named Tom Stillman who wanted to make the hockey experience great because he's a hockey fan. This is a racing fan and a former driver in Curtis Francois, isn't he, Chris?
Yeah, it is. He loves the sport. And, you know, a lot of people in the racing industry, when they heard a guy who's involved with commercial real estate was buying a racetrack, they were concerned. But they didn't realize who Curtis was. And you know, he has a passion for racing. But like you said, there's a passion for St. Louis, and he really wants St. Louis to be showcased. And what we're working on, we're explaining to people that while we are in Illinois, we're a short drive. We're only 5 minutes from the Arch, so we're as close to downtown as some other sports venues. And Curtis is really big on the whole concept of the sports corridor where all the different pieces all connect, and we're not that far out of the mix on that. And you know, we're a big benefit not only to the Metro East but downtown. And there's a lot of civic pride that goes on. And a lot of the projects that we work on, first and foremost, that Curtis is saying is he wants to make sure that St. Louis is represented well. And that's one of the things that we're doing in all these conversations with both IndyCar and NASCAR.
Yeah, you're basically as close to the arch as Forest Park is, really, if you think about it on the other side. And think about that central corridor. You could go from Worldwide Technology Raceway to Busch Stadium to Enterprise Center to the new MLS Stadium all within a few minutes of each other. That is very, very cool. And we look forward to the attention that you're going to get at the Bomarito Automotive Group 500, because when IndyCar comes to town, that means the world is coming. They'll be watching. There'll be hundreds of media members from around the world covering the race, and we can't wait for it on Saturday, August 24th. What a great way to showcase St. Louis, Chris.
It is. That's one of the things we just encourage everybody to get out and, you know, help us showcase what we're doing. Let's show everybody that St. Louis is a great sports town. Like I was telling you the other day, it's not just pucks and balls. Let's throw some tires into the mix on this too, and show everybody that there's something for everybody here. And, you know, we're a great city. We're a great racing city with all the short tracks that are in the area. And we just want to try to pull everybody together for one cause, and that's to just represent the city and the sports fans in this area.
Sure is a great racing city, no doubt about it. One of the best in the country, and perhaps setting the trend here for years to come. Chris, we appreciate it. Great work over at Worldwide Technology Raceway, found at WWTRaceway.com. Friday, August 23rd, Saturday, August 24th, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. We can't wait. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
All right, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll come back. John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, is standing by. He will be with us. It's 11:29, Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Tom Ackerman with you, and Cardinal Baseball at 3:07 today, coming to you from Oakland, 212 Ameren Total Access, the Cardinals and the Oakland Athletics. The Cardinals sit a half game out of first in the National League Central, and joining us is their President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, live on a Sunday morning. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Tom.
And the Cardinals will be looking for a split today. Tough one yesterday. I wanted to ask you first, though, about the big news of the day. That is that Matt Carpenter is back. Carpenter coming off the 10-day IL. And Ryan Helsley is back as well. Discuss those moves, if you would.
Yeah, first off with Carp, you know, obviously he had been down on a fairly extended rehab assignment. And he was really, trying to get his foot back to where he felt like he had confidence to go out and play every day. And once he got there, then he was also working on his timing at the plate. Last few days, feedback from Memphis was that he was centering balls, hitting them hard, and really felt like he was at a point where he could help contribute to the Cardinals. So excited to get him back. Had a few text exchanges with him early this morning, and you know, he's really looking forward to rejoining this club. And as he said to me, hopefully get us back into October.
And Mike Shildt telling us that he is going to lead off and play third base. Hitting, does it matter where he hits in the order, in your mind?
I'd like to tell you it doesn't, but I think like it does feel intuitively, and I think we can look at it from a you know, analytical standpoint, where he has produced more from the leadoff spot than anywhere else. But I do think that one of the things that we've seen over the last month is our lineups have changed quite a bit. And I think having sort of these interchangeable parts and being able to move people has actually brought some success to us. But I do think that's his comfort zone. Obviously, he does take a lot of pitches. So when Carp's going well, you know, a good at bat is six or seven pitches and ultimately sees those deep counts because he's not afraid to hit with two strikes. So let's hope that that's what we see early on and we can take advantage of it.
And Ronel Ravelo optioned to Memphis in that exchange. Also, Ryan Helsley comes up from Memphis, and Helsley, the big right-hander, has been making some starts too, hasn't he? Went three innings recently.
Well, we have been trying to stretch him out, not to the point where you want to see him as a starter, but to give us some flexibility when you're looking at some of the inconsistencies with our starters. And I know a lot was made over the last week of us not being able to get one in the trade deadline, but part of our insurance was hopefully we could do some piggyback strategies if we needed to. And one of the problems you had with somebody like a Mike Myers, for example, you probably weren't going to get too many innings out of him, and the fact that he doesn't have options limits how much you could use him in that particular role. So really our hands became a little bit tied. Helsley's been throwing the ball well. We have another young man down there, Junior Fernandez, who's also throwing the ball very well, but he'd be more used in a one or two inning stint at most. So Helsley, we tried to deepen a little bit, give us a little more flexibility, and he'll be joining the team today.
In what scenario would Junior Fernandez make it up here?
Well, I think it's really about, would we have the opportunity for him to pitch? Clearly, we have to get a little creative with roster spots. You know, part of the problem is our bullpen right now, we're just very limited on who we can move in and who we can move out. And so that's somewhat of a problem. But, you know, I do think we're starting to see some guys with those bigger arms have success down there, and now they're going to be brought here to get some chances. So I wouldn't rule out Junior before September, but certainly in September.
Gotcha. Randy Arozarena, I guess the same question. He's someone that you said it yourself on this station, how much he's been impressing you. He's been hitting the ball pretty hard. What's the future looking like for him?
Well, again, that comes down to where can we get him into the lineup? And right now with Fowler and Martinez, I don't think the skipper's trying to move them out anytime soon. So, you know, having said that, you know, trying to create at-bats is going to be tricky. And then we're getting Ozuna back yesterday. Obviously, he wants to play, and he's going to be in that lineup. So finding outfield at-bats is going to be difficult. But the good news is he continues to play well, and at some point you will see him.
John Mozeliak is with us, the president of baseball operations for the Cardinals. And as for the deadline, I mean, look, you've always told it to us straight, and I kind of feel like you – gave us a heads up how tough it was going to be. You told us weeks ago, and when I asked you about starting pitching, are there pitchers that we like? Yes. What's that cost going to be, you said. And then you warned us a few weeks ago about Dylan Carlson, that you're not going to deal him, and it would take prying him out of your dead hands to do it. So I feel like the warning shots were fired that, look, we're going to make a run here, but it's not going to be easy. And it seemed to have been the case, that there was a steep asking price. I'm not making an excuse for you, but there was a steep asking price for a lot of these pitchers out there.
Well, it was. And, you know, I think at the end that as much as all of us would like to have done a deal, we just did not want to do a deal we were going to regret. And as I sat there that day and was addressing media, the one thing I was trying to articulate is, on any given day, you feel the importance of when you do a trade, how good it is. Over time really is when you judge it. And, you know, our confidence to look at deals is not just at the moment. It's how we think about it long term. And, you know, I said that, you know, Dylan Carlson and Nolan Gorman, we have a gap between, you know, that kind of elite prospect to where we are down below. We obviously have a couple guys that are highly thought of in the Junior Fernandezes, or Azarenas of the world, but they're not thought of in that same type of prospect language. And so for us, it's always about being steady, consistent. Even if we thought we could have made a bolder move, we just didn't feel like we had the pieces. Well, I know we didn't have the pieces to match up, because, you know, some of the deals we were even talking about, the players never even got moved. So, you know, it's one of those things where I understand the frustration from the fan base. Look, I went to the grocery store last couple of days, and I hear it. I mean, I can sense that not everybody's happy. But, you know, as I think through this, you know, I hope people, when they look back on this, they realize it was the right decision, but only time will tell.
Are you, in a way, telling your team, not only we believe in you, that you can win, but you also have underachieved from the start, and we think that there's still more in you? Is that fair to say, that that's a message that you're sending to your team, is you can win this thing and go do it?
Yeah, I don't overthink messages to clubs, and maybe I'm not thinking about it right, but, I mean, look, these guys are all professionals. They all know what's expected of their job and what they need to do. And do teams at the trading deadline like when they get something else to help them get deeper into October or guarantee October? Of course they do. But on the same token, we have made a lot of trades. I mean, you look at our 3 and 4 hitters are all been acquired by trades, and therefore our system gets depleted to some level. So, you know, it's not they understand that this is not where we just have endless supply of young talent that eventually we'll just use to help the big league club. So I think a lot of these guys understood that, look, we've given up a lot to get to where we are. And they understood that, like, it wasn't necessarily the only solution at the trading deadline. And to your point, I think some of the people in that room were actually happy they weren't traded or that we didn't move on some people. So, you know, net, I felt like our clubhouse felt fine. And I think they're very eager to show that this is a good team.
Yeah. Is there any more pressure to win? Not that that's bad, but have you created sort of an edge here, an urgency here?
Well, I think you're always trying to create that urgency. The moment you sort of create an environment of comfort, you're probably going to get passed. So historically, you've always wanted some sort of internal competition, too, to keep people motivated and to keep people driven. And I do feel like our clubhouse right now, we have a fairly diverse group in the sense of we have some young players that really haven't tasted champagne. We have some older players that have tasted many times, and you have some in between. And I think from a group standpoint, they get it. They want to chase that. And I do feel like under Mike Shildt and his staff, there is a lot of urgency right now, and I think that's a good thing.
What about Yadier Molina? We've seen Marcel come back. We've seen Matt Carpenter come back. Yadier Molina is how close, do you think?
Well, it depends who you talk to.
Yeah.
But let's just give you the Yadi version. he's hopeful to take a few swings in the game today. My guess is he's circling Friday for his return. I want to have some meetings with our medical staff to get a sense of if they're in agreement with that. But my sense of what I heard today from our AAA coaching staff was, you know, he's pushing.
And Matt Wieters, in the meantime, has been fantastic, hasn't he?
He's been very fortunate. Obviously, Matt was a huge pickup for us, but even Kiz has been a pleasant surprise. So, you know, from a catching standpoint, we've had production, and that's a good thing.
And Kiz is in there today catching Adam Wainwright as the Cardinals take on the Oakland A's. Mo, appreciate your transparency as always, just talking through the situation and everything. Were you buying eggs and milk when somebody at the grocery store chatted you up? I mean, you're out in public.
You know, man, I'm just like anybody else. Got hungry. It was sort of funny how like people are like, "Yeah, should have done more." I'm like, "Okay."
That's right. Well, you know, it comes with the job, no doubt about it. The president of baseball operations of the St. Louis Cardinals, right?
That's right. Well, thank you, Tommy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the visit, always. 11:45 on KMOX. When we come back, Dan O'Neill. He has a job, that is to tell the Cardinals' story, and we will do that when we come back. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday morning.
Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Is he in your lineup today?
He is.
Where's he going to hit in the order?
Why'd you ask that, Tom?
Oh, just thousands of Cardinals fans sitting by the radio just waiting to hear. Yeah,
that's fair. He's going to lead off today. You know, it's a good spot for him, obviously, historically, and it's a good matchup with Ward today. And Tommy Edmonds in there. He's going to play right based on the DH. You know, we're going to get some lefties in there against Rourke. We'll lead Carpoff.
That was Mike Shildt on the show just a little while ago talking about and breaking the news that Matt Carpenter is going to lead off and play third base. Dan O'Neill joins us now, the author, the former St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist, and the fans are not happy about it, Dan. They don't like hearing that Matt Carpenter is leading off. Don't kill the messenger, I say. I'm just passing along the news.
Is that right? Well, I'm not surprised by it. I mean, you know, Matt Carpenter is getting paid a lot of money. He's supposed to be a big league player. He was on injured rehab, and when he comes back and they think he's healthy, they're going to stick him back in the lineup.
That's right, and they're going to play him, and if he doesn't perform, I got to think that if you're going to make the playoffs, you need Matt Carpenter performing, but if he doesn't, you got to find somebody who does. This is crunch time now. The producing players play, don't they, Dan?
Yeah, and I think they got to give him that opportunity, Tom, I mean, yes, we all know what kind of year he's having and all that, but we also know what he's capable of if he gets hot. And, you know, they're on the stretch here where they have 50-something games left. And, you know, you got to give him that opportunity. You got to find out. The good news is that if he has a bad stretch and he doesn't show you much, you found out that Tommy Edman can step in and maybe be the answer for you.
Dan O'Neill with us. You can follow him on Twitter. Always a good follow at WWDOD. What is happening in your world? You have a big event coming up with the St. Louis County Library.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I do. I'm excited about it. It'll be Monday night. Doors open at 6. The show will start at 7. But I do a presentation based on my book, Celebration, The Magic of the Cardinals in the 1980s. A special era of Cardinal baseball. And the presentation I make includes video highlights and lots of pictures and kind of a microcosm of the book that, illustrates that tremendous decade of Cardinals baseball when they had the best record in the National League for those 10 years, hit fewer than 100 home runs 9 times, but stole more than 200 bases 7 times. And just they played in 3 Game 7s of the World Series, won a World Championship in 82, probably should have gone to the postseason in 81, came close in 89, went from 1 million in attendance to 3 million in attendance, which has just become their standard now. So it really was a turning point, I think, for the organization in a special time in St. Louis.
Sitter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
What a team that was, Dan O'Neill. 1982, the Cardinals win their first one since 1967, and they don't do it without that man, Bruce Sutter, and Ozzie Smith, who Whitey Herzog went down and got from San Diego.
That's true. You know, the other guy they don't do it with was the player they got right before that season started, who was Lonnie Smith, who wound up leading the league in runs scored that year. We were talking about leadoff hitters. Lonnie Smith had a year in 82 that probably ranks right up there with any that any of the Cardinals leadoff hitters have had in their history. He stole 68 bases. And he was really the catalyst for that. And as you mentioned, Ozzie Smith, of course, Willie McGee came up. Nobody had heard of him. He hadn't even hardly played any AAA ball when he got up here. Wound up having a terrific season and then had that unforgettable Game 3 in the World Series where he hit 2 home runs, made the spectacular catch in the 9th inning to rob Gorman Thomas of a home run. So that was just a lot of things fell into place that year and just a terrific, terrific memory for a lot of people. And Tom, a lot of those highlights are in the show.
Swing and a high fly ball into right, curving foul into the corner. That ball may go. It's up against the wall, and now there's Coleman streaking for second, going for third. They're bringing him home. The throw home, and he is safe. And inside the park home run, his first home run in the big leagues.
Love that call from 1985. When I think of the 1985 Cardinals, one of the greatest Cardinals teams of all time, I think of the speed of Vince Coleman, among other things, of course. But, wow, what an addition he was, and what a lot of fun that was at the ballpark each and every night.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, he stole 110 bases that year, was the rookie of the year. I remember that play. That was Claudel Washington who kind of misplayed that ball, and Coleman circled the bases in the blink of an eye, and yeah, you know, the 85 Cardinals, one of the best teams to ever play in St. Louis. As I said, they stole 314 bases just by comparison. Last year's Cardinal team stole 62 bases. So it gives you an idea how different things were. But the amazing thing about 85 was just the tremendous defense and quality of pitching they had. You know, people remember people remember Bob Gibson's 1968, which they should, an unbelievable season, 1.12 ERA. Well, in 85, John Tudor started 1-7, and from June 3rd on, he was 20-1 with a 1.37 ERA. So it's right there with that season that Gibson had, and is truly one of the great, great
pitching performances of all time.
Really is. Cardinals lost the World Series, as we know, to the Royals. Came back, though, in 87 and played the Twins. And you looked at the lineup, you're like, where are they? They were all banged up. There were injuries. That's okay. Yeah. Game four.
Bringing a high fly ball to left. Way back at the track. This ball may go. It's a three-run home run for Tom Lawless. That is hard to imagine.
It was, and then the bat flip, the fifth, still the greatest bat flip of all time.
Yeah, and that's also in the presentation if people want to see that. But maybe the most improbable home run of all time. I mean, everybody remembers Ozzie Smith's home run off Tom Niedenfuhr in the 85 playoffs, and Ozzie had batted almost 3,000 times left-handed before hitting that home run. But that home run by Lawless, who's playing, as you mentioned, Tom, Cardinals had injury problems. Lawless is playing third base because Terry Pendleton couldn't bat right-handed. He was injured. And he had batted 080 during the regular season and had a total of 25 at-bats when he hit that home run. So certainly one of the most unbelievable moments in Cardinal baseball history.
The Lawman, one of the good guys. 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the main St. Louis County Library branch on Lindbergh. You'll feature your book, Celebration, The Magic of the Cardinals in the 1980s. There will be a book signing. You can meet Dan. He's the author of Celebration and a frequent guest on KMOX. We love having you on. Go see him at the library tomorrow. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.
Great to be on with you. Dan O'Neill with us. Thanks to James O'Sullivan, our producer. I'm Tom Ackerman. Thanks to Mike Schilt, John Mozeliak, Kyle McClellan, Chris Blair and company, and Mike Kelly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.